Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. Our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Our Father, this evening we give thanks for the occasion that is ours to sing these hymns of praises, praises for your blessed word. Thank you for the scriptures, the word of God. Tonight we ask that the Spirit of God, who is the author of the word of God, might take the word of God and apply it to our hearts, that we might have understanding, that we might have greater appreciation for the blessed word. We thank you also for our Lord Jesus, the living word. And as we have the living word, his residence in the hearts of those who trust him, and our Father, we have this blessed book, the Bible. So tonight we ask that you would indeed speak to us. We need help. And then we pray that as we enter into the time of remembering our blessed Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us, that your Spirit would take our hearts and think upon him. And in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, some people can't chew and walk at the same time. This thing, I can't seem to walk. We'll operate it and preach at the same time. But it's okay. I thought I'd share that with you because we're trying to make CDs out of some of these things. All right, let's go back. The reason we're in a spiritual warfare is if you're in Christ and you're identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death at Calvary, and his burial, his resurrection, and if you're united with Christ, you say, it was because of my sins I died at the cross. It's because of the death I buried with Christ, and I have resurrection with Christ. If that is what has happened, and now you're in his kingdom, and you're children of light, the devil's going to work on you. Because you were his servant, his slave, And he wants to do the best he can to put an end to you and to have you fall and so that you aren't safe. And so the Lord says, all right, I want you to know this. If you're to be a Christian is to be a warrior, then our God has made provision for us to handle this spiritual warfare. And I'm grateful for that. It's nice to have provisions, isn't it? And the provision is, he said, I have an armor for you. And it says in verse 11 of the sixth chapter that we're to put this whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes. And he does his best to really curtail us, do us damage and harm. So tonight, as I understand this, that as you can, if you can comprehend it, as a Christian, you're not here as a place of ease. This old world is not our friend. Now, there are some things we can enjoy, but it's a battlefield. The bottom line is this world's a battlefield. Now, I know there are areas that we can enjoy. I understand that, but basically, spiritually, it's a battlefield. And so he said, I'm going to give you this armor. I want you to put it on. I want you to see what it means. The Apostle Paul sitting beside these Roman soldiers, he could see their armor. And the Spirit of God says, I want you to explain them spiritually to the people. And so we have this account. We're to aim for maturity to withstand the attacks of our enemy. Maturity. To withstand the attacks of our enemy. And I tell you, brethren, I don't care what age you are, you're going to find that you need to continue to reach out for maturity spiritually. I don't think you get to an age where you say, hey, I've arrived. Salvation isn't it in its completeness till the Lord Jesus comes. You know that? You're saved, but you were saved back when the Lord regenerated and you were justified by faith. That was some years ago, some of you, and now we are being saved. That is, we are being more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And sanctification, it's a process. But the completeness of salvation is when our Lord, blessed Lord comes. And we'll enjoy those blessed times that he has for us, prepared for us in a new heaven, a new earth. So salvation is a great thing. And tonight we want to look at this last piece of armor. Now, it's the only piece of all of them there that is for the offensive, for the attacked. I know there are some of us that take a view on war. We believe soldiers are necessary. We're for war, and we pray. But there are some of us who believe that to take life is just a little something that you need to consider. It's nice that people can sit down and talk things over a little bit. But when that doesn't happen, we have to have war. We have to have soldiers. But tonight I want you to see there's a battle, and the Lord says here, I have an attack weapon for you. It's called a sword, verse 17. Can you tell me a little bit about this sword from the Roman soldier viewpoint? Yeah. 12 to 14 inches. Double-edged, sharp on both sides, pointed. And it was designed for close combat. You see, well, I thought I saw pictures of a Roman soldiers having a spear and a shield and a sword hanging on his hip in a sheath. Yeah, you did. Well, why aren't you talking? Why doesn't the Word of God talk about this spear? The Lord God did not think that we need to be talking about the spirit or the spear, but about a close combat, one to one, and that takes a small knife, and that is man to man. You say, spiritually, I don't know what you're talking about, Lord. Yeah, he does. He said, this matter of conflict is basically as many times as a one-to-one. And the enemy will combat you, and you say, all right, I have to have this what? It says it's a sword. Are you sure it's a small sword? Yes, sir. It's for close combat. Okay, I take your word. Well, no, it's what Paul's describing it by the Spirit of God. And it's called the sword of the Spirit. Look at it, verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, a spiritual sword, spirit of the sword, capital letters, not your spirit. You may be a fiery person, or you may be real quiet, seduced, or sedate, but it's a spirit, capital letter S, it's a sword of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is God, you know that. I was doing a little studying before I had the privilege of getting some food for the winter. And I was in Psalm 139. And I was studying, wherever you go, the Spirit of God is. There's no place you can go where he's not. That's tremendous. He's everywhere. Omnipresent. And I said, that's wonderful. It'd be nice that I could have a deer, Lord. You know all about them. I would like to have one. They'd get some fresh meat. In a matter of minutes, a buck came out. Now, you can do what you want with it, but I was excited about one shot and a nice big buck. What does that have to do with this? It is that the Spirit of God has a sword, which is the Word of God. And he's everywhere, and he wants us to take this small sword for a one-to-one combat and be able to use it effectively spiritually. That's a pretty big order. But he said, no, I want you to do this. He said, we need to keep it at handy or in the hand. You know, it's nice to have a nice bound Bible for the coffee table people. I like to see them. And it's nice to be able to say, if you're talking about something and reach over and open the Bible up. But it's been my experience down through the years, mostly it served for prettiness. I like to be wrong on some things. But no. He said, I want a small sword. It's the sword of the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God. And he says, I want you to have it handy. You never know when the enemy is going to throw a fiery dart or bring a person about to attack. You know, I don't know much about warfare, but I guess I understand that maybe the best defense is an offensive battle. That is an attack. We Christians, we get kind of subdued. I tried to start to say that. We get kind of subdued and say, hey, I'm not a fighter. I like to live quietly and peacefully and take things as they are. I don't want to cause any problem. I don't want to cause any disturbance. And I just kind of keep my mouth shut, and I'm a nice Christian. This verse 17 says, you have not understood what the Christian life's all about in this spiritual battle. He wants us to be in an attacked position and go at it. Remember about the shoes? They were to be, they would hobnail so that we didn't retreat. But he said, I want you to attack. Now, I don't know about you. How about you? Do you attack? Do you open your mouth up and say, that's not right. The Word of God says this. You say, oh, man, now we're going to get in those. No, you can't do that as a Christian. You got to be sweet and nice. And this verse 17, the last part, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want you to look at the word word. Because there's in the Greek, there's two words for the word. There is that which is called the Logos, which is the entire Bible that you have in your hand. That's the entire Bible in the Greek is called a Logos. But is also, the Word of God is referred to as another Greek word called Rhema. And Rhema means a specific passage or specific word. And here it is, a specific word. He said, I want you to have the sword of the Spirit, the Spirit sword, which is the Word of God, which is the Rhema of God, and that you would be able to use a passage and go at it one-to-one. Yeah, that's what it's saying. A word that is in due season, proper. You know, I think maybe I'm not getting that across, friends, because have it handy. And take the Rhema, a specific saying in the Word of God, and use it. Well, okay. If that doesn't explain it, let's go back to Luke 4. Maybe Luke 4 would be the best illustration of our Lord Jesus, how he used the Rhema, a short passage in a time of battle with the enemy at temptation. And so in Luke chapter 4, I begin to read at verse 1. You follow this and see how the word is used. Just a little expression of the Word of God, how powerful it was. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, now this is a Rhema, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word of God. Now, let me stop there just for a moment. You know the devil, he's got years of experience. You'd say, well, he's so powerful, but he's not God. And he doesn't know what's going on in your head. He does not know what's going on in our heads and our hearts. Now, I had a man just recently tell me he could take a look at people and pretty well tell what their problems are. Well, we studied something like that in psychology, but I always kind of took it, you know. But if you deal with criminals, after a while, you can pretty well spot people. You know, that's your business. I suppose the devil can look at us. He said, there's Robbins, I know what his problem is. There's Klotz, I know what his problem is. And he work on that aspect of that weakness in our areas. But we need a rhema. And the rhema that the Lord used, he was hungry. 40 days, nothing to eat. And the devil come along, and how did he answer the devil? He said, it is written. It is written. Now, rhema. It is just a little clause, a little portion, or a saying that's very, very powerful, because this is of the Spirit of God. Wonderful. You see, sometimes we get the idea that we got to go boo, 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 before anybody understands anything. But the Spirit of God says, he said to the Lord, he said, all he had to say was, it's written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now he goes on. Watch it again. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The whole world's yours. And the devil said to him, all of this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered. unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Just a little statement. Well, let's take the next one, temptation, upon our Lord Jesus by the devil. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him in a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, that's from Psalm 91, verse 11, by the way, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed him for a season. What have we learned? We've learned that you don't have to take the whole Bible when you are defending in this spiritual warfare, but if you know the book and you're studying the book, the Spirit of God, who's the author of the Word of God, can take just a rhema, a certain clause, and it'd be sufficient enough to war off the problem that's at hand. Well, that ought to be an encouragement to some of us who have not great retention powers. And the Spirit of God can speak to us. So every time he is tempted, if we could bring up something like, well, it is written. Huh? It is written. He can hear us, the devil, and all of his cohorts, but he can't read our minds and our hearts. And if we know the book well enough to be, say, it says in the Word of God. And that's all it is. He can't handle that. According to the Word of God, the devil cannot handle that. He can handle a lot of things, but boy, he can't handle the Word of God. It's the Spirit. It's the Word of the Spirit. And so this is a great passage. He says, once you put this last piece on, it's like a small little sword, double-edged, and you keep it handy, and you use it. You use the Word. Use it as an attack weapon. When somebody says something wrong, Don't sit back as a little mouse and say, I'm not going to say anything because I'll cause some people to feel badly and they'll think I'm just a mean old guy. If you just say, the Word of God says, brethren, we need to speak up. You say, well, I don't want to fight. Neither do I. But we need to speak up for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to use the Word of God. Now, if you're conscientious and you don't want to get hurt and you're afraid of getting a little wound, I remember some years ago I was to a Bloomsburg fair, and it's been years, and I'm walking with my wife, and here come four fellows right up, coming real fast, and they were looking for a, I forget what they called it. They were looking for a rumble. They wanted to fight. In Warrensville, Pennsylvania, years and years ago, they used to meet Saturday nights, and the fellows would fight, looking for a fight. Well, you say, that's a wild bunch. But you see, we're afraid to say anything. But he says, you take the sword of the Lord, the Rhema, the Spirit of God will take that word and do a powerful work in people's lives. And we just pass up, you know, I'm included. Just because I'm preaching on doesn't say I'm perfect on those things either. But I'm convinced that this passage is saying we need to speak up. We need to be attackers. We need to be bulldogs about some things when it comes to the precious Word of God. You say, well, you get killed. Hey, you do it in the name of the Lord. Because you're going to stand before Him as well as I'm going to stand before Him. And this is what the Word of God says. But I'd like us to look at a couple passages to encourage us. Would you turn to 2 Peter and chapter 2? What do you want to go there for? I want us to be encouraged about the power of the Word of God, and that it is the Spirit, the Word of God is the Spirit of the Spirit of God's Word. It really is. 2 Peter, and I'm in chapter 2, and I'd like us to look at verse 20 and 22. Actually, 20 and 21. Now, do you really want that passage? That's not it. Well, I thought you knew that passage. And I do know the passage. Let's try it again. 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 20. I've marked it down. But it's speaking about that holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Anybody got the scripture? Where is it? I've lost it for the moment. But it's a precious. It's given by the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. It has in 2 Peter, I think it is.
We're about 1:20.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm not going to give myself any excuses, but I have not been well this week, and some of these things happen. Okay, thank you for that. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, thank you, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Listen, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This is precious. The Bible you have in your hand. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's precious. Well, I think Paul had a bias towards women. Hey, come on now. God used the Apostle Paul, and it was not his word. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Not Paul. It's the Holy Spirit has said that. We have the Bible here. There's another passage. I think I do have this one right. 2 Timothy 3:16. And you know this one. But, oh, is it powerful. And it ought to encourage you to speak out because the Rhema is necessary in these last days. And the men of old, they spoke out. They were not afraid to speak the truth. We don't look for a fight, but when the occasion comes, let's be in season and out of season. In 2 Timothy 3, now look at that 16th verse. All Scripture, that includes the Old Testament, all that we have there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is God-breathed. Listen, that means it's alive. The Word of God is alive. Inspiration is living. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, or that word means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brethren, that's what we ought to aim for. That I have this book, and I have confidence in that it's a living word. It'll bring about salvation, those who are dead in trespasses and sin, and that they are made alive, and they are saved, they're justified. I tell you, it's by the word of God. The Spirit of God takes the word of God. I think that that word alive, if you'd understand inspiration, that has the idea that it quickens, makes you alive. Oh, friends, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And yes, what am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to use it in even one-on-one combat, spiritually speaking. And if you and I could understand this, that when temptations come, when the devil throws us one, that we come back with a combat, and that we be able to refute the thoughts, the arguments, the debates, it's just beautiful. You know, I do believe this. If you bathe yourself in the Word of God, and see, I can't as an old man, I can't remember like I used to, but don't give up. And you know, I have experienced this, and it's an experience thing, but I believe with all my heart that when you get into combat with somebody over an issue, that the Spirit of God will quicken your mind enough to give those scripture verses. They're powerful, and that you stand there, you don't back. You don't say, well, I don't know about all these things. Maybe I don't have things right. No, you stand, do it, retreat, and give the Word of God, let the Spirit of God speak to your heart, and give it, because it's alive. Take it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What do I need a sword for, Lord? He said, I have a reason for you to give you that sword. Now use it. Now, it doesn't mean we'll go out here and stand in the corner and say, anybody want to fight with me? Hey, anybody, come on, I'll take you on. No, it isn't that. I don't look for a rumble. But look for an occasion that you can speak up. I remember a man who's now gone, but we had a farm auction over here selling machinery, and I told you this before, but it's worth repeating. And the auctioneer had a kind of a dirty mouth. And he was so bold, he said, what I'm going to do for this secretary after the sale's over. And he said that. And this fellow said, and you'll go to hell for it too. And a whole crowd of farmers then, he said, you'll go to hell for it too. Boy, I thought that was bold. That was Donald Ravenel, by the way. And he said, the auctioneer said, hey, do you know who I am? He said, I don't care who you are. If you practice those things, you'll die and go to hell too. Now, that's kind of bold. You say, well, he was just he's a businessman. Don Ravenel was a businessman. Now, be careful. Well, he wasn't too smart. You don't think so? I thought he was real smart and bold. But that's unheard of today. We let those things slip. I'm not going to stick my nose out. Somebody's going to clip it. But the Word of God is saying here in Ephesians 6 and 17, the last part, we're to use that little sword, the rhema, just maybe a word or two. You don't have to be preaching a whole message or a Sunday school lesson. It may develop that if they want to listen and learn, but it's just to say something and kind of let it go. Drop a bomb, is that what we say about Brother Bob? Is to learn how to drop a bomb. That's a rhema. So, friends, if you'll just say, oh, this is such a precious book. This is God-breathed, and it'll quicken hearts, and it's not a man's book, man-made. It's by the Spirit of God. And it says also further, if we really believe this book, you know, it's one thing to talk it, but say, I really love this book. I believe it. I believe it. It's the Spirit of God. He's the author of it. And if you believe it, we need to learn how to study it more. I don't know about you. I still have a real strong desire to know more about the Word of God. And when I come and as sit in the chairs with you, I engross myself with what's being said. I don't care who's preaching. I give my undivided attention. I'll even close my eyes so I'm not diversion of some sort. Somebody moves or something, or somebody gets up. I don't want to see it. I want to hear what the Word of God's all about. Now, I want to say this to you. We need to learn to know the book inside and out. In and out of the Word of God. I wish that we would study it more. I don't know how people do it. Treat church like you would the Sam's Club. I guess my wife maybe goes about once a week. Go to Sam's Club once a week. Oh, man, is that the way you treat church, like Sam's Club? Just go once and that's all you need to do. I can't see how you can do that. You know, I know some of you, health-wise, I know providentially you can't come to every service. I understand that perfectly. But I want to tell you something. If you think there's a spiritual warfare going on and the Word of God is given, I can't see how you can't say, I need more of it. Come on, preacher. I need more. And so I also have to do some studying on the side. Can't expect everybody to do all the homework for you. Used to be a guy come here. He'd spend a lot of time asking me questions. Yeah. And he said to me, I don't know why you spent all that money to go to school for. He said, I bought a farm for a lot less than that. But he asked me questions and questions and questions and questions. Hey, that's nice. I think we ought to study so that we have some answers in ourselves, not depend on somebody to do all the study for us. I think we ought to love this book enough. It's alive. It'll quicken hearts. It'll do battle. And if we study it, I believe that if we learn how to apply it. You know, it's one thing to be able to quote. Some people can have good retention powers. Machine gun the Word of God. But listen, what good is a machine gunning the Word of God if you don't apply it? Huh? Just to give the Word of God and not apply it. In Nehemiah's day, when they gave forth the Word of God, the people stood, you know. And after they had given, then they give application for it. If they're just giving the Bible without applying it, that's not biblical. It needs to be applied. You can apply it by saying, I'm going to speak it forth. I also will praise it in singing about the Word of God like we did these hymns tonight, singing about the Word of God. But we also, as we'll find in verse 18 and 20 of Ephesians 6, the Lord willing, about the matter of praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Friends, not only to proclaim it, but to praise the Word of God, but also to pray the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. I wanted to share another verse in the subject about the taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I wanted to encourage you to take to heart 2 Timothy 2, 15, where it tells us that we're to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, some of you are perfectionists. I've been around enough that you're perfectionists. How are you doing about the Word of God? I'm serious. How are you really perfectionists about the Word of God? You study it to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He said, I never would do that kind of sloppy job. When I did a job, I did it right. I said, yes, sir. That's good. How about the Word of God? Do you do the same, have the same attitude and commitment? I challenge you, brethren. It's something that we need to keep, continue to work on. I wanted to share that with you. Well, here we are, the Lord's Supper. I was thinking about something that about the Lord's Supper that we break the bread, the unleavened bread. And but I was thinking, I was at the truck stop some time ago, and I like the way that in their little soup and salad buffet that they take a loaf of bread and they carefully use a cloth so that you don't touch the bread, and then you cut it. I thought, that is nice. That's thoughtful. And I thought to myself, you know, in the Bible days, they took the bread and they treated it that way too. They passed it around, broke a piece off. I thought, you know, we take some unleavened bread, put a cloth on the one end, and let you folk take a piece of the Lord's Supper. Am I trying to be novel? No, just trying to be biblical. And we're in 1 Corinthians about the matter of the Lord's Supper, a passage that is just beautiful as far as I'm concerned. And 1 Corinthians 11, we says, when you come together, therefore, to one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. They had an agape feast, which I think is a good idea, too. I was down south some years ago, and they wanted me to preach, and I got there a little early, and they had observed the Lord's Supper, but they had an agape feast. I thought, oh, that is interesting. But when you come together into one place, is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for it said they had this problem. For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. Boy, that was bad, you Corinthians. Wow. And he said, what, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then he goes on to say, listen, for I, by the Spirit of God, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. To think about the Lord, in memory of the Lord. He wants us to take some time. And he said, I'll use some elements that will help you think about the Lord. And so that's this evening is what we want us to do. We have this bread. This is unleavened bread. And it has already been broken. But it reminds us of the process of the Lord when he was here, how he suffered. He's the living bread. You think about the Lord. But first, let's have some prayer together. And our Father, we want to thank you tonight that you have given us this ordinance that we might take some time, and we believe that it is your precious word and that you will use it as we remember our Lord Jesus, that you will speak to our hearts and help us to think upon him and love him even more. And we're grateful for his giving of his body and how he was bruised and broken and how he suffered in agony, and it's because of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. And as we will also thank you for his shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And he, being the Son of God, God's blood was shed there at Calvary. And we want to thank you for the shed blood. It cleanses us from all sin. And so for the bread of life, and as these elements of bread and of the wine speak to us about the perfection of our Lord Jesus, there's no sin, no yeast. And as we take of the elements, help us to think upon the Lord Jesus. In his precious name, we pray. Amen. Perhaps you would take a piece, and if you know the Lord savingly and you have been baptized, we welcome you to take it. And maybe we wait and eat together, shall we? And while we're taking a little time in quietness, perhaps you would talk to the Lord yourself individually while it's being passed around. And then our Lord Jesus, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.